Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction.
Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, whatever that is. Today we're recommending The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. This is a story both Reese's and I enjoy.
And it coincides with the fantasy theme.
So if you're enjoying the podcast, give the free trial a chance. It'll help pay for some of the hosting. I'm not sure what that is.
Quick, download it before the movie comes out, post haste!
Enjoy the episode!
Welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And we welcome you to step into our realms and hear tales of Gnog, ghosts, and elves.
I don't know.
On this very holiday episode, because we are posting it a day late on Tuesday and Christmas Eve.
We totally did that on purpose.
Yeah, that's the reason.
That's the reason.
It wasn't because we were all hungover or nothing.
Nope, not at all.
Well, with that, what did you do this week, Josh?
Well, Paul Ritchie threw a party for Christmas time, mm-hmm. and I drank so much beer that I was sick for 2 days.
Yeah, Paul from Continue. I was visiting home,
yes.
and he threw a party, and it was really nice, mm-hmm. but we all got appropriately wasted.
There was beer pong, and I haven't played beer pong since 2006.
Since 18 diggity dick?
Since 18 diggity dick, and I'm an old man now, and I can't just drink, like, 17 beers. Apparently.
Yeah, I remember those days. I remember a day where I would be like, someone would be going to the liquor store and I would say, 2 hurricanes, please.
Yep.
Now I couldn't even drink one. Well, I could.
You drink one and then be
I would prefer
trash.
Not to.
Right. I'd prefer to drink like muddy piss water from the back of a porta potty. I would rather do that.
So you like Dakota Kick?
Yes, exactly.
We need to do a tavern episode again and get drunk again. Yeah, this podcast is getting boring. Tell those guys to get drunk.
Hey, why aren't these guys drunk anymore? This podcast sucks.
I mean, just imagine someone driving, listening to this right now, and they're like, why am I even listening to this shit? And they just drive off a cliff.
Just crash into a fucking telephone pole, just wrap themselves around it. Just the worst way to die.
Oh, goodness. Well, with that said, if you couldn't tell, I visited Philadelphia this mm-hmm. week to visit my family and friends.
You got to see some snow?
I got to see some snow the first minute I was in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It was snowing. But I went around to all the Goodwill stores like I like to, and I got myself some nice clothes that nobody wanted anymore.
Yeah.
And I also managed to find 2 books that I found a few books, but I found 2 Terry Brooks books,
okay.
Sword of Shannara and Wish Song, which is the third in that series. I guess I knew the name, but I was like, I don't know what this is. So they were 50 cents, so I bought them. Mm-hmm. I started reading Sword on the plane back. They're fantasy novels. They're huge. And it's fucking awesome. It rules. It's about, like, I don't read enough fantasy, and I need to, because it's awesome.
Yeah, Ryan recommended a comic to me, and I forget the name of it.
Was it something Kickers?
It might have been that. It's like a science fiction / fantasy,
mm-hmm.
and I looked at it. I was, like, checking it out, and it looks really good.
If you guys have suggestions for books to read, I mean, I have a few now. I still have Dragons of Autumn and these now. So, but I mean, feel free to suggest fantasy books to us.
Preferably ones about swords, mm-hmm. magical swords.
You know, things of that nature.
Right, exactly.
But with that said, why don't you say we get into the fantasy we wrote this week?
Let us do it. Gods, allow us to enter our minds.
This is a guitar solo.
They are good at guitar sword.
Dom, hold on to your candy canes. Are you ready?
I'm holding on to all of them.
How many do you have?
3.
That is not enough. Get more.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Okay. Dom, are you ready?
I'm ready now. I have 7.
Okay, that's enough. Okay, my story is called Annual Celebration Festival Allotment of Time.
Oh, hmm. Seems holiday enough.
Non-denominational. All right, here we go. It was that time of year again. Skulls hung from the hearth. The toes of misbehaving children were painted and candied, and the spirit of the season could be felt throughout the old candle shop, which served as Fred the Skull Peeler, Sid, and Ugla's secret clubhouse because someone read a cursed book about seasonal spirits and unleashed one inside the house.
Oh my god! Ghosts!
The crew of thieves and adventurers were throwing a huge annual celebration festival allotment of time house party.
Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Love it.
It's canon.
It's canon.
The party was to be larger than the one in House Party 2, but not as bumpin' as the one in House Party 1.
Still a respectable size.
Very bumpin'. Everyone who was anyone was there. Axel the Dragon did a flyover slash jizz over, coating the hideout in rainbow jizz. Buffcat wore his ugliest enchanted sleeveless holiday sweater, which gave the wearer immunity to poisons and prevented hangovers.
Dude, I need that sweater.
Dude, could have used it 2 days ago, man.
Could have used it. You know what that sweater is? Gatorade. Come on.
Gatorade is a sweater for your stomach. While Fred the Skull Peeler hung the mistletoe off his giant baby arm of a cod.
A little inappropriate, but okay.
This was to be the greatest celebration Daranos had ever seen. Ring, ding, dong, ring-a-ding, ding, ding, dong. That's the door chime, Fred said, while Ugla and Sid made out so hard on the couch that all their dry humping caused scorch marks. Fred walked over to the door. What is the password? He asked firmly. Let me in, you piece of cum crust, before I cut a bitch, a dark horse replied. Correct! Fred opened the door, and there stood Krasnor, the retired lich. Hey, fuckface, said Fred as he held out his hand to shake Krasnor's. You're going to die in 8 years, bitter and alone, having never accomplished anything, bleeding to death from your dick, Krasnor replied as he took Fred's hand. The two laughed and clinked mead steins. Krasnor was also holding a mead stein. A little revision there.
On the go, on the fly. That's how we do it.
That's how we do it. I brought some ghost nog, Krasnor said as he gave Fred a large bowl of glowing eggnog. It allows the imbiber to peer through the ages and glimpse time without time. Also, it has cinnamon and is just delicious. I'll put it over on the table. Fred walked past the couch and stepped over to Sid, who was finger-blasting Ugla pretty hardcore nasty, and placed the seemingly enchanted eggnog on the table next to an always sullen and sulking flyman.
Oh, man.
The party was just about to jump off and become a full-blown rager when No Diggity started playing on the music stone. Flyman sighed, and a single tear ran down his face, burning a hole through his holiday sweater, which was just some old oily rags. That was me and my wife's song, he said, with a deep sadness only known to alcoholics, orphans, and alcoholic orphans. Just then, the ghost nog began to glow a deep, dark blue hue. It whispered, drink me, pussy. Flyman was startled, but only as much as a flyman who had lost all hope could be startled. Well, he began, it's like they say, whatever doesn't kill you, drink more of until you feel the sweet release of death. He grabbed the haunted ladle and poured a good amount of ghost nog into a red solo goblet, then proceeded to take the nog up to the roof where he planned on jumping off and ending his miserable and cursed life.
Oh my god, it's so sad.
It gets so much sadder.
Oh my god.
It's Christmas. When he reached the roof, he drank and slurped the nog down with his gross, nasty, sick fly tongue. Suddenly, the world around him seemed to disappear. He saw a funnel form in front of him, and it felt like he was falling in. The room transformed, and suddenly he was no longer at the party, but in Ugla's alchemy lab. He was confused and shaken, and he peed himself, but that really wasn't all that unusual.
Wait, is this pee acid pee?
I don't know. Maybe.
Canon to be determined at a later date.
Canon-esque. Canon-esque. A hint of canon. Hello? He called out. Just then, a cloud formed in front of him, and from within walked out a very tall, sexy man elf. Fly man, the elf began. How did you know my name? I am the elf of timelessness. I am here to show you that your life is worth living in this holiday season or something gay. Do you remember this day? Flyman looked around and he recognized that he was at Ugla's but did not know what day in the past it was. This is Ugla's, he said. Yes. Your friend Ugla and Sid invited you over to watch Ugla's all-sea ball and make fun of suckers who were dumb idiots. Don't worry, they can't see us. Just then, Flyman could see Ugla and Sid laughing while looking at the all-sea ball. Flyman could see an older version of himself in the corner crying into an alchemic potion. The mixture of chemicals and Flyman tears combined, and a large explosion engulfed Flyman. When the dust cleared, he now had a set of the sickest, hottest tits ever. Ugla and Sid turned away from the all-sea ball just in time to see Flyman standing there with his huge new melons. They began to laugh so hard, Ugla peed her cloak. Flyman, you are the king, Sid said, laughing. See? Your friends love you, Flyman, said the elf. Yeah, but I had those tits for weeks. I was so sexually confused. Oh. And when they finally fell off, I was sad because I didn't have the tits anymore. Okay, bad example, I guess. They were really awesome tits, the elf replied. He put his hands up and waved them around like some kind of magical guy would. Just then, the room around them transformed again. This time, they were in a banquet hall with tons of people. Do you recognize this day? The elf asked. Yes, Flyman said immediately and sadly. This was the day you married your hot-ass wife, who left you. Oh, wait. Flyman's shoulders sank.
This guy's the worst!
Dude, he kind of sucks.
Oh my gosh.
Flyman's shoulders sank as he saw the past version of himself as a man with his beautiful sandwich-making wife. Well, at least you know she's happy now, dating that cursed book and all, the elf said, trying to save face. And being happy for others is the best way to start finding happiness in yourself. Flyman was crushed.
Oh, man.
If he had a gun, he'd be rich because guns don't exist yet, but he'd eat like 4 bullets. He stood there helpless as he watched his former human self dancing to No Diggity with his former hot, big-titted, nasty booty-having wife. All around them.
It's funny because, like, you'd think that those would be, like, things to make you feel more bad for Flyman because things were really good, but it's like, nah, he kind of seemed like a jerk, man.
Right? All around them, magical snow fell on the dance floor. Time seemed to slow down as he watched himself being happy. The elf again waved his hands, and the room transformed again. This time they were back on the roof in present times. The party downstairs raged on. I'm sorry, Flyman. I thought you seeing those things would snap you out of this sadness. Oh, and were you going to jump off the roof and kill yourself? You're a Flyman. A Flyman. You can fly. How are you even going to kill yourself by jumping off a roof? Damn, dog. You can't even suicide right. Then the elf disappeared.
Oh, man, this guy's terrible.
Flyman was again alone on the roof. It began to snow slightly. As a single snowflake floated down in front of him, he stuck out his tongue to catch it. Then he turned and went back to the party. Finn.
That's it?
Yep.
Oh, man.
It's a sad story.
It's sad. It's sad. Like, I'm stunned. Poor Flyman.
He's the king of sadness.
He went and had himself a wonderful life thing going on, and the guy had nothing good to show him.
Yep, that's how sad his life was.
But he decided to go back to the party.
He did.
And I think that speaks a lot.
Yeah. I mean, is he finally overcoming the sadness? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that elf using gay as a derogatory term.
No, I mean, it was actually just gay. Like, it was very homosexual.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, if that's the case, I mean. Josh, are you ready to hear my joyful tale? That'll probably be joyful.
I'm ready.
This one's called A Holiday Tale.
That's the best.
That was tentative. I did not go back and revise that. That's what you're getting. Okay. Snow fell and collected at the foot of the Wizard Mountain mountain range.
Mm-hmm.
It was Winter Moon's Eve in Orcspire, an end of the calendar year holiday where the moon is full and night persists for 3 straight days.
Oh,
no one's sure how it works, so they created Winter's Moon to distract people from thinking about the logic of it all and preventing them from going insane.
Kind of like the real holidays.
Kind of like the real holidays. Winter's Moon is like Christmas, but instead of presents of toys and funny t-shirts found at Target, everyone got cool new weapons, plus a pie buffet.
Dude, I want that. I don't want real Christmas.
I want weapons and pie.
Yeah.
However, if you were a bad boy all year, Santa Man, an orc not too different from Santa Claus, comes to your house and holds your arms back while everyone in your family is allowed to punch you in the face as hard as they can. Because why did you have to be a shitty person?
Dude, I want this Christmas.
Last winter's moon, I gave you my heart. The very next day, you cleaved it with a battle axe and threw it in the river, you big jerk. Anyway, most adventurers, thieves, snake beast bodybuilders, batbulls, and even some Daryls were at home with their loved ones celebrating the occasion. All but one particular thief who found opportunity in everyone else's time off. With long golden hair and a complete black leather suit of armor and a buff bod that'll make your mama say, "Son, daddy's gotta find a new mom for ya." Biff Swiftdagger held up his dagger to check himself out. Swiftdagger is a world-famous, self-absorbed wood elf rogue with at least 600 charisma, so you know everyone's trying to get a piece of that. He's taller than all wood elves, about 6'7", and has very few rogue qualities. "Looking good as usual," said Biff as he put his fingers through his hair. He noticed something. "Bears!" he shouted, and 3 bears walked out of the woods. He turned to them and bellowed, "Slay these split ends!" A bear provided a personalized carved wooden chair for Biff to sit in. The bears began cutting Biff's hair.
Where'd he get this chair?
They happened to carry it around with them for the occasion that Biff would need a haircut.
That's the most adorable image ever. This is bear like pulling this chair.
It says Biff on it.
Yeah. It's like carved into it.
While waiting, Biff paged through an issue of Bear Duck Magazine, a publication printed by bears and ducks. It's complete nonsense and mostly paw prints and bill nibbled pages. The cut was quickly finished. Biff looked it over. "A fine bear cut," he said, and winked at a bear. The bear fainted, fell back into the arms of the other bears. Then Biff winked at those bears, and they fainted. They would wake up several days later. Biff stood up and flexed both of his biceps, which somehow shot a map out of his satchel. He caught it midair, opened it up, and examined it. Ah, the map to Trip Bingleheimer's long-lost hideout. Trip Bingleheimer was a legendary gnome rogue known for stealing royal treasures right out from under royal noses, especially on royal holidays. But not Dude's Day.
What's Dude's Day?
I don't know.
I want
that
holiday.
It's canon. It's canon. He lived amongst his treasures in his secret hideout, which very few people knew about. But he had not been heard from for years. Biff decided that today was the day he'd try to loot it all, considering that Trip would probably be out celebrating Winter's Moon with his family. Now, just to read this map and be on my way. Biff looked to each side. Magic talking bird who reads maps for me! Shouted the rogue. And a beautiful magical bird landed on his shoulder. The hidden hideout is that door up there, sang the bird. And it somersaulted into a firework, which flew into the night sky.
Oh my god, that's so magical. That's like so fucking magical.
I know.
I want this holiday.
Biff looked to where the bird pointed. And sure enough, there was a large door disguised as part of the mountain, but with a doorknob and a twin-headed snake door knocker on it.
Oh no.
No longer needing the map, Biff put it between his pecs, flexed, and ground the map into magic dust that fell onto a fantasy ant who got high as fuck.
Dude, he's a friend to animals.
Well, yeah, you know, animals like him.
He's so attractive, I mean, yeah.
He ventured up the Wizard Mountain mountain range as snow continued to fall. After some time, he took a moment to look around and spotted the hideout just across a very dangerous arrangement of jagged rock and cavernous holes, resembling an evil face that appeared to laugh at Biff for even thinking to cross it. Biff shouted, "Boy, it sure is warm out here," and undid one of the string holes on his tunic. The wind blew, and in it you could hear, "You're gonna have to show some more skin than that." Annoyed, Biff yelled, "Fuck this loser, owls!" And 20 owls flew to him. "Cross me!" The owls lifted Biff up and carried him across the formation. The formation was pissed and started cursing at Biff. Biff looked down and said, "Shit in his mouth!" And the owls did. And the formation gargled on the owl poop and he was so mad. The owls placed Biff down at the entrance to the dungeon and left. But not before combing his beautiful hair. The rogue reached for the doorknob, and the head knocker began. "Answer me this riddle for entry," the right head spoke. The left head added, "You're clearly not the owner of this hideout, but we're an equal opportunity door knocker."
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you give everybody a chance, you know? Yeah. Biff thought for a moment, then climbed the knocker repeatedly. "Hello?" he shouted. "Stop that, you fool," the right head replied. "Biff is here. It's me, Biff. Let Biff in for the treasures," he said as he began to knock harder. "Ow, what the friggin' hell," said the left head. "You're supposed to answer a riddle to get in." "Here's a riddle. The door's dumb and broken. Why won't it open? Scroll the lockmaster, dummies," yelled Biff as he began kick-punching the door. That's when you punch and kick at the same time. It's kind of an ultimate move.
How does he do it?
Dude, you could do it if you train hard.
I'm gonna train.
The door had had enough. It swung open. "Fucking fine, just go in there, you jerk."
Dude, I love but this Biff, door handle. I love it.
But Biff was not happy with the tone the knocker had took with him. He ripped the door off the hinges. "Ah, what are you doing, rogue? Here's another riddle, peen hole. Can doors fly? No, they can't." And he threw the door off the cliff. The door hit many hard rocks, which broke and shattered it into many wooden pieces. The snakeheads shouted their final words. "That's not even a riddle!" The door died and no one cared, except for the left snakehead's son, who had gotten a scholarship and went on to be a doorbell for a wizard's tower.
Oh my god.
He inherited the doorknob. Biff entered the dungeon.
Oh my god. I just love that the door knocker has a son.
It's became a doorbell.
It's the craziest fucking logic. It's so funny. Oh my god.
Inside were the makings of a well-crafted dungeon long forgotten. The place was covered in cobwebs, so many that if you look closely, you could read a small play that was written in them. Little spiders were rehearsing it, but when Biff walked in, they ran away and had to postpone the rehearsal. Will the Winter's Moon play be ready in time for the evening's gala? That's a story for another time, but one thing is for certain. Sergio better get his lines right and quick. Sergio the spider.
He reminds me of someone.
Yeah, I wonder who it could be. The floor was... My brother. The floor was littered with charred remains of old fire pits, broken bones, and an old orc battle mage who is very much living inside. Gross, yelled Biff. The orc stirred and woke. He turned to Biff, revealing a beard as long as two robes, and wearing a robe as long as one half a robe. He liked to wear things that breathed. Who dare disturb the holiday slumber of Terrence Boulder Boy? Quiet, Terrence, you're distracting me from getting the gold, said Biff, posing on each word. Biff's usual charm did not interest Terrence. Quiet, fool, you'll wake this dungeon's many creatures! A cold wind blew through the hallway, filled with whispers and warnings. Biff stood there for a moment considering this, then began slapping the wall and stopping while yelling, I'm here, losers, try to fight me, over and over. Out of the darkness came an orc skeleton, grayed orc flesh, still clinging to the bone, with glowing eyes of red, and wielding a barbed cudgel.
Dude, that's spooky.
Who dare enter the master's lair on winter's moon eve?
Never mind, he rules.
Ye shall die!
He charged at Biff, then slowed down, then lowered his weapon and stopped completely.
Ah, you can't see it because it rotted and fell off, but I have a boner, you are hot.
Like what you see, ghoulie boy, said Biff, as he flexed his bicep and put it close to the orc's face.
Oh yeah, that is one fine.
Biff interrupted by punching him through his mouth and killing him.
Jesus Christ. Poor guy.
Do you not respect the dead elf?
Shot Terrence. I respect gold or something to that effect. Look, I really don't have time for... Suddenly, another door swung open and a ghost came out and said, Don't go in there. I just dropped the biggest ghost, dude. Then he looked at Biff and said, Hey, you're not supposed to be in here. It's Winter's Moon Eve. You're supposed to be at home with your family. What the capital H are you doing? Shut up, ghost, countered Biff. Where's Bingleheimer? Where's his gold? Where's his hat with naked ladies on it? And he threw a dagger across the room, going right through his ghastly body.
Foolish wood elf, yelled Terrence. Your mortal weapons cannot harm a ghost.
Biff spotted a potion hanging from Terrence's belt, labeled Nog. The elf grabbed it and drank it without hesitation.
This better make me be able to punch ghosts, said Biff.
And as he ran down the hall, grabbed the ghost by the throat and punched it in the face repeatedly until it was whatever the equivalent of knocked out for a ghost is. The potion just so happened to be exactly what Biff wanted.
I am such a good rogue, said Biff. And it tasted like ice cream.
Oh my god, now I want some ice cream.
I want some nog.
Oh my god.
Yet another door swung open. Out walked a giant skeleton who was wielding a neatly wrapped gift. He swung them around like some kind of maniac. He walked right past Biff and out the goddamn dungeon to who the fuck knows where. Who was that present for? A skeleton's girlfriend?
Swift Dagger pondered this for a moment. Yes, those are presents for a skeleton's girlfriend, you dummy. It's Winter's Moon Eve,
the orc answered. For the first time, Biff realized what his greed had led him to. It was Winter's Moon Eve, and he was with exactly no chicks. In fact, he was very much in the company of opposite of chicks, an old-ass orc.
That is the direct opposite of chicks.
Maybe the things that are most valuable in this world, said Terrence, are the things money cannot buy, like family and... Shut up, I'm thinking about babes, said Biff.
He stood there for another moment, then turned around and headed for the door.
I'm going to have Winter's Moon sex for 3 days straight. See ya, dork.
And the rogue left. Terrence Boulder Boy shrugged, as if to say, close enough. Then turn to you, the listener!
Aw, yeah!
I've been living in this hideout for quite some time. There are no hidden gems or forgotten cache of scrolls with big-breasted women scribbled on them. Not anymore, at least. Nope, the only gold you'll find in this dungeon is this sage advice. Let your family and friends know that you love them. Though they may already know it, it's nice to be reminded that you are a lovable person. Especially when it's cold and miserable out. The end.
Great story. That was great.
Thanks.
Fantastic. What a great Christmas story.
I think, you know, Biff stayed true to his character.
Yeah.
And we all learned a valuable lesson.
We all got to feel the Christmas spirit.
drink eggnog until you see ghosts.
Until you can punch a ghost.
Man, I hope that play. I wonder what it was called.
Dude, I want to see that play. I want.
maybe another time.
Maybe next holiday season we'll get to see the actual spider play.
Oh, Sergio the Spider, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Learn your
get
shit.
Your lines right. You got 8 eyes. Read the lines.
You got 8 eyes and 8 legs. Wait, spiders have 8 legs, right?
Wait, do they have 8 eyes?
No, they've got millions. They got like
it's canon. It's fucking canon.
They got 8 eyes.
Everyone, and welcome to another edition of
Chamber of Knowledge. It's the knowledge one. It's the door with the book on it.
Yes. I'm not Snickerdoodle. I am Reese's
you are not.
The Wise.
And I am old Snickerdoodle. And we are here to answer your question sent from another realm with magic scrolls. So, First scroll. Comes from @AndrewTabola. He asks, most popular sex move in your lands right now? Reese's?
Right now, the most popular sex move in Daranos is Purple Jelly Moon, Parachute Pants DP, and the Jackie Joyner Kersey.
What does that last one entail?
You gotta run really fast.
Goodness gracious. You are truly exhibitionists over there, Daranos.
It's like 1969 America over here right now. You don't even know, Snickerdoodle.
Well, here in Orkspire, personal favorite is the Swinging God's Pike. That's an old favorite of mine, but trending right now is the Backwoods Goblin Back Troll Girl.
What is that one? How does that one work?
I haven't had sex in years, I wouldn't know. Next scroll,
all right. The next scroll is from @AstroAgama. They ask, what are the greatest sights to see in your realm? Snickerdoodle.
Well, of course there is the Orc Spire. That is you know, all life comes from. And, of course, you can get yourself a graphic robe with muscles airbrushed on it. Or one that says legalize orcs. Your choice.
I want that robe.
How about you, Reese's?
We have the largest ball of yarn, but it's really just the left testicle of a yarn giant that fell off when he got hit in the dick with a sword.
You have yarn giants,
we
my
have
word!
All kinds of giants.
Oh, goodness gracious.
It's crazy.
Next scroll. Kyle Gagnon asks, what is the best way to soothe a raging orc?
BOGO sales.
BOGO sales?
Buy one, get one sales. They love that shit here.
I have to admit, that would soothe me.
It's amazing. You buy one here and you get one.
A deal of any kind. My word.
It's crazy awesome. What about you, Snickerdoodle?
In Orkspire, the old-fashioned way is to soothe with a song. And, well, the song I sing is, take a little trip to the pain, mine baby. Oh. Take a little trip to the pain, mine baby. Sex with me is like the pain, mine's baby. 3 people have died having sex with me, baby. Actually, maybe that's a bad idea, baby. Okay, I'll scroll you another time, baby.
Snickerdoodle, that was beautiful.
Thank you, I've been writing it for days.
3 people actually had died from having sex with you?
Well, it's just a story.
Oh. I was going to ask how.
Well, maybe it's a good time for a rumor. Maybe, yes, I'm 4 have died actually.
Oh my God, Snickerdoodle! No,
and you can visit their ghosts and ask them how good it was. It was real good.
Any publicity is good publicity, Snickerdoodle.
Next scroll, just read the next scroll.
Next scroll is from Thomas Foy. He asks, what's your favorite form of travel?
Wizard hang glider!
That is fucking 90s as shit, Snickerdoodle.
You can catch me riding nude. What's yours?
Anything that takes me to where the pussy is. Pussy, one of those carts that you'd push on the railroad tracks where there's 2 of you and there's like a pump in the middle.
I'll take that.
If that's gonna get me, is that your motto? I would assume that's your, that's most of your motto.
It's, I get it printed on my underwear, like Calvin Klein.
I wouldn't know, of course. As we spoke, the deaths. Next scroll. Gavin Risa asks, "What is the biggest, baddest thing you have ever killed?" Reese's.
Yo, mama.
Ah!
She fell down and everyone said, "Damn, that's a big fat lady." And by killed, I mean killed that pussy.
Damn. Sounds like someone took a trip to the pain mines.
Pain mines, baby.
For me, it was my Wizard Temple University final. Ha ha! Oh, Reese's, you know what I mean. I had to kiss my teacher for an A.
That sounds like the best kind of final.
Next scroll!
Is from Ariel Beltran. What are some of the favored lullabies in your prospective land, Snickerdoodle?
Take a little trip to the pain mine, baby. Take a little trip to the pain mine, baby. Sex with me is like the pain mines, baby. You know how the rest of it
goes. It's so good. Please, yes. I want a cassette
tape. What's this? Hold on. There's a scroll coming in now.
Here we go.
Big record deal. Thousands of gold. Record this hot hit. Reese's, I think I've got an opportunity here.
I think you should.
And frankly, maybe I don't need to do Chamber of Knowledge anymore.
I would be a very bad friend if I said you shouldn't do this.
Why don't you take a look at the scroll I just got?
Okay, hold on. Let me grab.
It was a prank. It's blank.
Oh,
I would never leave. Oh, I love having a good time.
You can't leave because you can't even walk properly. So of course.
You had to bring up my lame legs.
They're still pretty to me, Snickerdoodle.
That's why I like hang glider. It's like I'm flying.
I will sing you a lullaby to help you soothe your sleep, to put you to sleep.
Thank you. Please do.
Go to sleep or you'll die. Then you'll never be awake again. Don't drink salt water. Or you'll die, and you'll never see your mommy. Good night, everyone. This ends another episode of Chamber of Knowledge.
I'll take a trip to the pain mine, baby.
Till next time. Good night.
Josh, what's the best Christmas present you ever got?
The best Christmas present I ever got was I got the Micro Machines Toolbox Foldout Town.
And
the same year, I got the Micro Machines C-130, like cargo plane, where you put the cars in.
You got both those the same year?
Yeah, it was great.
Best present I ever got... You know what's funny is I almost said Nintendo 64 because we did get Nintendo 64 one year. And that's a lot of people's favorite present.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Like, I didn't get it. My brother got Royal Rumble for Genesis.
Yeah.
And it sucked, but I loved playing that game.
Yeah, there were certain games that you would play even though, like, they were really bad, but you just played them all the time. I would play the Sega Genesis Power Rangers game a lot.
Oh, yeah, my brother had that as well, but I didn't like Power Rangers when I was growing up.
I was huge. I was huge into the P-Rangers.
Yeah, that's funny, because everybody else is, except for me.
We had Royal Rumble. You had, like, real-life Power Rangers.
That was real-life Power Rangers. Yeah. Do you have a favorite Christmas special?
Favorite Christmas special? I mean, I always love Snoopy. One that I absolutely hate is fucking Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, dude, I thought I used to like Frosty the Snowman when I was a kid. He's so annoying.
He's
and
an
stupid.
Idiot. We had
it's
it on
awful.
A VHS tape, and we would watch it, like, not on Christmas. And I think that's probably part of the reason I didn't like it,
because
I ruined
because
it.
I hated when I saw things that were about Christmas
not on Christmas.
The summer. Cartoon Network used to do Christmas in July
programming,
and I hated it.
Yeah, it was stupid.
It's so stupid. But also, like, the whole thing of that cartoon is, like, oh my god, he melts in the greenhouse, and it's so sad. But then, like, the song is like, "I'll be back on Christmas Day," and it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess this doesn't really matter.
You
and
totally
we don't see
it.
That part of the movie. Oh, it's fucking stupid. I really like Claymation Christmas, the Will Vinton cartoon where they all sing the songs.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. I also really love Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
I love Olive the Other Reindeer with the dog, Olive, and she wants to be a reindeer. It's a newer one.
Really? I've never seen that.
It's got Drew Barrymore is the voice of Olive the dog. Hmm. It's kind of sad.
Huh.
Oh, also Rudolph. Rudolph's great.
Oh, Rudolph's a great one, of course. I used to like it when I was a kid. Year Without Santa Claus. I don't like it so much anymore.
Yeah.
But they did a live action one of that on ABC or NBC like a couple years ago. Holy crap, it's so bad. It's one of those things that you're like, I can't believe I'm watching this right now. It's so bad.
I kind of love stuff like that sometimes. And you're
Chris Kattan is in it for some reason.
No.
And he clearly has like an eye infection.
Oh, God.
It's really weird.
He just got like chlamydia in his eye.
Oh, goodness.
Ugh.
Well, anyway, hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode. Mm-hmm. And thanks for listening to us talk about Christmas. We just wanted to throw some Christmas stuff in there.
Yeah.
Since this is a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
If you want to follow us on any social media, that's always in the show notes. The Twitter, the Facebook, Reddit, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's where we ask for prompts and questions for Reese's and Snickerdoodle.
Yep.
But sincerely, thank you guys for listening to another episode. We get really nice emails here and there about just people who like the show. We just want to say thank you to Liz and Ralph. We got a really nice email from them, and that was really, really nice to read. So thank you. And just a reminder, you guys are encouraged to write along with us with the prompts.
Mm-hmm.
If you write a story, post it on the subreddit, which is in the show notes. That's where people leave comments and read them and joke around and have fun. Because this is all stupid, right? You can write whatever the hell you want as long as it's making you laugh. That's why we started this. So if that helps you just to start writing every week and then you move on from there, that's great. So you should totally do this with us.
Absolutely.
This is a fun time. I love doing this show. Josh loves doing this show.
I want to
speak
show.
For him because I know.
You can. You can totally do that. I do love this show. This is one of the funniest fucking things I think I've ever been a part of. So
I would say the same here. I'm very, very, very happy we get to do this show for, and I'm very happy that you guys listen and like it. So thank you so much. Speaking of prompts, next week's prompt from Bryce Swanson, we got Paladins. We're going to do two this week.
Yeah.
The second one is from Greg Patillo. It is Giants. So next episode is Paladins
and
Giants.
Giants.
Maybe a giant Paladin.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Could be anything. Who knows? It's not next week yet.
It's canon. Whatever it's going to be.
Whatever it's
going to
be.
You bet your sweet ass! But thank you guys again, and have a Merry Christmas if you celebrate, and if not, enjoy your time off.
Yeah, have a safe holidays. Don't do anything too dangerous, like fighting any enraged orcs. I wouldn't recommend that.
I wouldn't recommend that. Send a scroll to your mom or dad or your brother or your sister and say, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Give you a kiss if you were here.
I love you. You know, whatever.
Whatever you want to say. Don't curse. That would be bad. That would be pointless.
Yeah, don't do that. Just
unless it's like, I fucking love you.
Yeah, then it's totally fine.
That's okay. Do it.
Even your grandma can't yell at you for that one.
Nope. She can try, but she'll be tearing up.
She'll be crying too hard from the joy.
And if you notice that we have new music, it's because a listener, one Brandon Coltier, went ahead and composed some music for the show, and it's fucking awesome.
It's really, really good.
Also, his Twitter handle is @corndogs_Jackie.
That is,
which is a great,
great name.
But yes, all the music this episode is provided by him, and Float Tune as usual. Until next week, Josh.
Keep on wizarding. It's Christmas.
Keep on wizarding, miss. Take care, guys. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Bye.